Grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come, from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and ruler of kings on earth. Our text comes from the gospel reading this morning, especially these words. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. Therefore, I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. This is our text. You may be seated. Dear saints, there's a common complaint waged against us Lutherans. We don't talk enough about the Holy Spirit. 3 weeks from now is Pentecost. And of course, the Holy Spirit will make an appearance then. But in general, I think the complaint has some merit. But the reason that Lutherans typically don't talk a lot about the Holy Spirit is given to us right in this morning's gospel reading. Jesus says, "For the Spirit will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you." Which is to say that the Holy Spirit's job is to talk about Jesus. It is not to talk about himself. In John 15, Jesus says, "But when the Helper comes, the Holy Spirit, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness about me," about Jesus. That's who and what the Holy Spirit wants to talk about: Jesus Christ and his death and resurrection to save sinners. If you want to know if a church is filled with the Holy Spirit, ask yourself if they are talking about God becoming flesh in the person of Jesus Christ, who died for your sins and rose from the dead so that you might have new life. That is the talk of the Spirit. However, the problem with almost never or infrequently talking about the Holy Spirit or preaching about the Holy Spirit is that it can lead to all sorts of misunderstandings about him, who he is, what he does, how he does that work, how you and I receive the Holy Spirit. Indeed, throughout Christendom, there are probably more disagreements about the work of the Holy Spirit than any other member of the Trinity. So this morning, we're going to undertake that task. First, notice that we don't talk about the Holy Spirit as a what, but as a who. The Holy Spirit is a person of the Godhead, the third person of the Holy Trinity. Scripture refers to the Holy Spirit as the Helper, the Comforter. Or as we say in the Creed, "I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life." The Holy Spirit is the Lord. He is God. The Holy Spirit isn't a force or the force or God's power or something. He is a person, not made or created, but eternal, like the Father and the Son, not begotten like the Son, but he proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshiped and glorified. Good enough. But what does the Holy Spirit do? In our gospel reading, Jesus says, "The Holy Spirit will guide you into all the truth." What does Jesus say about himself in John? "I am the way and the truth and the life." All truth is present in the person of Jesus Christ. So the Holy Spirit guides us on our way through this life, the way being Jesus. He guides us into all truth, which is Jesus. And he guides us to new life found in Jesus. Notice, the Holy Spirit isn't said to give secret knowledge to certain people and not to others. He's not providing private revelations to a few people, but he's laying out the truth. He's revealing the truth of who Jesus is, and that Jesus is that truth. Luther summarizes the biblical teaching nicely in his explanation to the third article of the Creed. I believe that I cannot, by my own reason or strength, believe in Jesus Christ my Lord or come to him, but the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with his gifts, sanctified and kept me in the true faith. In this Christian church, he daily and richly forgives all my sins and the sins of all believers. On the last day, he will raise me and all the dead and give eternal life to me and all believers in Christ. The Holy Spirit's job is to bring you to faith, to preserve you in that faith, to ensure you of your salvation in Jesus Christ, in his death and resurrection. The Holy Spirit convicts the world of sin and righteousness and judgment, and so the Holy Spirit exposes your sin to you and brings you back to Jesus, where you receive forgiveness for your sins. The Holy Spirit builds the church, and he sustains it. All well and good. But I think the biggest question for most Christians is the how. How does the Holy Spirit accomplish his work? This is where things get a little, perhaps, controversial. Many Christians may not think about this. Many others may assume that, oh, we can't really know how the Holy Spirit works. We don't want to put God in a box. But instead, we look for the signs that he is at work. Which signs? Speaking in tongues is a common one. I know that the Spirit is at work in you if you speak in tongues. Or people assume that the Holy Spirit is at work through their own feelings or their own emotions. The culture likes to believe if it feels right, it must be right. Or we might say a quasi-Christian culture might put it like this. Well, if it feels right, it must be the Holy Spirit telling me that it is right. Holy Spirit will give you a sign about what you're supposed to do in life, where to go for help or healing, or how to be right with God. But that's not what Scripture says. Scripture says the Holy Spirit speaks. He speaks God's word. Where is God's word? Scripture. The Holy Spirit is at work when the word of God is heard and read and proclaimed from the pulpit. So that you can know, so that you can have assurance that the Holy Spirit is at work. When he is speaking, when God's word is being proclaimed, when Jesus is being praised, when the truth of the death and resurrection of Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins is declared, when I say in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all of your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, you can be sure that that is the Holy Spirit at work. You don't have to guess. You don't have to question. You know it. When the lessons are read, when the liturgy and the intro is sung or spoken, when you hear the sermon, when you hear the words of institution before the Lord's Supper, when you pray the Lord's Prayer, that's the Holy Spirit. No guesswork involved. The sword of the Spirit is the word of God, as Paul tells us in Ephesians chapter 6. If it's not God's word speaking, you can't be sure it's the Holy Spirit. It may be another spirit, an unholy one. As one commentator put it, so soon as the Spirit is plucked away from the word of Christ, the gate is open to all manner of dotings and seducings. This morning, we have witnessed a most glorious example of the Holy Spirit at work, namely in Orion's baptism. What does Peter say in the book of Acts? When the people ask him what they need to do to be saved, he says, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." So the Holy Spirit is at work in baptism. The water connected to what? The word of God, the promises of God. And baptism, we receive the Holy Spirit. We don't have to wonder if Orion received the Holy Spirit, because God promises that he did. You who are baptized likewise don't have to wonder if you've received the Holy Spirit, because God promises you that you did. It doesn't matter what your emotions or your feelings or your life situation or the devil himself tries to convince you of, God promises you that in baptism, he has made you his own dear child and indeed comes to dwell in you so that God can work his work of salvation in you. God gives his Holy Spirit to us again and again. Think of the disciples. They were baptized. Jesus gave them the Holy Spirit again in the upper room after the resurrection when he said, "Peace be with you." Then again at Pentecost. And then again throughout their ministry. How many times does God give you his Holy Spirit? As many times as it takes. As many times as you need it. For you see, the Holy Spirit, it's a gift. We all need God's Holy Spirit poured out on us again and again. There are hundreds, if not thousands, of words that you hear on a daily basis. Many of those words seeking to draw you away from the word of the Holy Spirit, seeking to cause you to worship anything else other than Jesus. It doesn't matter. Many voices and words which would try to convince you that you do not need to be in God's holy house, where every day, every Lord's Day, the Spirit gathers his church in a particular place, in a particular way, for a particular blessing to give himself to you again and again throughout your life in this world. He comes to you in the word of Christ, in the forgiveness of your sins, and in his body and blood from this Lord's table. The Holy Spirit is at work here and in you. Thanks be to God. In the name of Jesus, amen.